Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me for another week. Now, last week, we started a conversation with Linda Dillo, who is sharing with us 8 heart skills to help you cling to God and not give up after the death of your child. These heart skills, they're not steps to help you get past the grief. They're very much intertwined with each other. So if you missed last week, you will probably want to go back and listen to that episode before continuing with this one, where we talked about the 3 heart skills of hope, love, and loss. Now, because I introduced Linda last week, I'm not going to do that again today. So let's just jump right in where we left off, which will be talking about the 4th heart skill to help you cling to God and not give up.
And we have to lament, which is
yes. The
next. And that was, I find that most Americans don't even know that word, but lament is worship in a minor key. And so it's worship. And they did that in the Old Testament. They worshiped in a minor key, but we don't want to do that. We want the happy clappy. Mm-hmm. And I love to worship with joy, but we also can worship with sorrow.
Yes. I think even just coming to God with our sorrow or even with our anger is a form of worship because we're acknowledging your God. And you didn't stop this. Why? I mean, in that sense, we're still honoring that God is God. You were big enough to do something here. And that's a form of worship.
Right. No, if we can be honest with him. I mean, look at how honest David was.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Well, and Jesus was, too. You know, God, is there any other way? If Jesus can be so honest, we can be honest. And the heart skill is to go through a psalm and really kind of write your own psalm. But I show them how and just be brutally honest with God.
Yes.
Because that's what we need to do.
Yes. And we tend to want God to fix us, and he does, but not in the way we want him to. He does something even better because he joins us in that place of suffocating darkness. He comes down there. He comes with us in that place. And that is so, that's where the intimacy really starts to grow. We want him to just stay over there and fix me. And instead he's like, how about letting me in to be with you and lament and cry and weep with you. Wrap yourself up in that love blanket and let him come be with you. And that kind of leads us to the next heart skill, doesn't it? Which is trust.
Yeah.
Now you start out this chapter with a quote from C.S. Lewis, which I love. I know now, Lord, why you utter no answer. You are yourself the answer. Before your face, questions die away.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
It is. Now, you're like me. I like to interchange the words trust and faith. And I started doing that for several years. I would read through the Bible in a year in a different translation. And one of the translations that I read that I absolutely love is called the Complete Jewish Bible. I think he's a Jewish rabbi. And so he does the scriptures through the eyes of a Jewish man. So he hardly ever uses the word faith. It's almost always trust. And it's like, for me, it made things so much easier because faith, we feel like, you know, faith comes from hearing the word of God. How much faith do you need? I didn't have enough faith to stop my child's death. I didn't have enough faith to keep her leg from being amputated when she was 3 and had cancer. How much faith is enough that I can trust? I can lean and fall back into God and I can trust. And they are very interchangeable, aren't they?
They really are. Yeah. Now, trust is something I can do. I can put my trust in God. And I love what Laura's story, I quoted her in that chapter that she said, God said, you can ask the wise. So many people in the scripture ask the wise,
Yes.
but your whys have to be changed to how. How can
Exactly.
God be glorified? And how can God use this in my life? And how can this mess become a message?
Yep, that's exactly what I have been telling Pereavers for years. It's like you can ask the why question, but eventually the real question is turning the corner asking how. How are you going to get me? How are you going to turn this into good? You know, like Romans 8 says, how are you going to make me even want to live again? How are you going to put meaning and purpose back in my life again? And it's like that's the question God's saying, I'm so glad you asked. Let me show you.
Right. And Laura Story's beautiful song, Blessings,
Yes.
came out of her changing it to how.
Yes. Yes. I heard a really good definition of faith just the other day that said faith is trusting in God's love for us. And we're back to love again.
Yeah. No,
Because faith isn't,
they all go together.
they're so intertwined, aren't they? Faith isn't knowledge about God. It's experiencing his love and then trusting in that love. Because if we can't trust God, it means we haven't experienced enough of his love yet.
And Laura, I think just like this young woman I was with on Monday, I said to her, have you said to God, I really want to experience more of your love? I said, have you told him that? She said, no. I said, don't you think that would please him if you just said to him, I really want to experience more of your love? And she acted like she'd kind of be afraid to say that. And I said, he's your Abba Father. He wants you to come to him as your Abba. And don't you think that would delight him?
Right. How much more are we blessed when our child just comes and crawls up on our lap
Yes.
and just wants us to love on them? They just want to soak up our love as opposed to, can I have? Can I have? I want. We just climb up
Exactly.
on,
And
yeah, just climb
that's
up on
what
his
we're
lap.
saying to God. I wanna know your love personally for me. And will you help me to understand that?
It's okay to pray things for yourself. We don't always have to be praying for everybody else. In
Well, but
fact, we need to start with ourselves.
that's not asking for a thing. That's
No.
not saying, can I have a new car? That's
Exactly.
saying, I want to know more of you personally.
Yes. Yes.
God's going, oh, thank you for asking.
Yes.
I've
Yes.
been waiting for that.
Yes. Yes. So the whole topic of forgiveness, that is huge. The listeners here, I feel like that is a huge foundation to build on. And like you said, they're intertwined. The love and the trust and the forgiveness, they're all kind of intertwined. For my book, When Tragedy Strikes, I start out with the foundation of forgiveness. When I started this podcast years ago, the first eight episodes were all on forgiveness. Why it's so important. It's for you, it's not for the other person. And then when our child dies, we have so many people to forgive. It can be paralyzing. And so every podcast, I went through a different person or group of people, ourselves, our child, God. It's
Sometimes it's the
huge.
child,
Yes.
something that the child's done.
Yes. And as horrible as it sounds, you may have to forgive your child. And there are parents I've talked to who don't even realize that until we talk about it. That I did not realize how angry I am at my child, whether it was accidental or on purpose from their pain. So in your life, you talk about a person that we're going to get out of the child loss area, but it really pertains here. You had a person in your life that you hated, that God called attention to, that you needed to forgive. You grew up with an alcoholic father, and he was a mean drunk, and he would shame and humiliate you. And in your book, you said calling you an everyday, ordinary, garden variety whore. I can't imagine that. And that was the exact opposite of who you were. And so at one point, God dealt with your heart that you had to forgive. So is forgiveness like a one and done thing?
Absolutely not. And I mean, I became a Christian when I was 20. Campus Crusade, now known as CRU, found me when I was a college student, and I'm so glad that they were on my campus because they found me. And for the first few months, I was just so excited about the love and forgiveness of Jesus and all wrapped up in that. And that Jesus had loved me unconditionally and given me eternal life as a free gift. And then I realized that God might want me to forgive. And so, guess who God pointed to?
Yeah.
The one person that didn't deserve forgiveness. He'd never asked, and he was sitting in a chair smoking three packs of Camels a day. And drinking bourbon and milk for breakfast. And, he didn't deserve it. He had never asked for it. And so, why should I forgive him? He was ruining his life. He ended up dying from lung cancer from the cigarettes and sclerosis of the liver from the liquor at age 51, which seemed old to me at the time, but now I know it's really young. And but God just said, did you deserve unconditional forgiveness and eternal life as a free gift? And we forgive unconditionally, Linda, and not if someone forgives. And that's what Jesus told the Apostle Peter. That we forgive and we keep on forgiving. And I didn't ever talk to him personally because I was up at college and he in Oregon and he was in Southern California. But I forgave him in my heart. And God graciously sent a minister to him and he received the Lord the week before he died. So, yeah, I tried to talk to him about the Lord, but he would hear nothing of it. But God sent someone to talk to him. So I think I will meet him in heaven. But I had to forgive someone who did not want my forgiveness and did not think he needed to be forgiven.
So that act of
And
forgiveness,
it was for me. It
that's
was
what I
for
was going to
me.
say. It had nothing to do with him. It was
It
to
had
set
nothing to do
yourself
with it. And my
free.
yeah, and my brother, who I led to the Lord, he also had to do that. And my brother's 4 years younger than I am, and in his 70s called me, and he lives in California, and said to me, within the last 2 years, Linda, how are you doing forgiving Dad? Now, we're both committed Christians. He's been an elder in his church forever. And he asked me that question. And I said, well, Tom, I forgave him a long time ago. No, but I just ask you how you're doing. And we talked for hours. And he has several friends that are struggling with forgiving a father. And it brought up a lot of things for him. And so we talked about it. And there are things that still come up in my life that I have to say, I forgive him for that because he wounded me in many ways.
So if we circle this back around to child loss, I know way too many parents. I wish I didn't, not that I wish I didn't know them, but I wish this had not happened to them, where, they had a child that was murdered, whether it was intentional or unintentional, or, a tragic car accident. And, there are court battles, court dates. It just drags us on. And that act of forgiveness is so very, very hard. I mean, we want to acknowledge that. I, on the other hand, it keeps you trapped. It keeps the anger festering, and the anger turns into bitterness and resentment, and it just begins to spew out. Your whole life becomes just one bitter, resentful life. And that's not what God has for you. That's not what your child would want you to become. That's not what we want for you. And so forgiveness is something, it's a gift you give yourself. It's a gift God wants to give you. It does not release the other person. It doesn't justify. It doesn't mean there isn't justice required. It just means you are unchaining yourself and giving yourself permission to be set free. Because why do you want to be chained to that person who dealt this blow to you and your family and your child? Why do you want to stay chained and attached to them? And that's what unforgiveness is doing. It's keeping you attached to that person. And I know the familiar phrase, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So, forgiveness is a huge thing. What is the heart skill that you recommend for this forgiveness? Let me turn this around. So, I believe that the heart skill that you give for forgiveness is to realize that it's making a choice. It's not based on feelings, and to not keep a record of wrongs and to make forgiveness a lifestyle.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that it's taking 1 Corinthians 13, 5. It's you have to make the one time choice, but then live with 1 Corinthians 13, 5, that I will keep no record of wrongs. Because I think sometimes we think if I don't have a record written down, but we can keep a record in our
Yes.
heart and mind.
Yes.
And I just want to say with you, Laura, I just grieve for these people that have to go to court or have these things that drag out.
Yes.
That would just tear your heart apart. Could we just pray for these parents right now? I'd like
Sure.
to do that.
Yes, please.
Lord, would you comfort these parents, any who are suffering right now because they have long drawn out forgiveness battles in their hearts, whether it's over a trial or waiting to find out something about their child's death? God, would you comfort any parent
Yes.
right now who is struggling with forgiveness and enable them to make the choice to forgive? Would you
Yes.
give them the courage to forgive? And I
Yeah.
ask this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And I think what you prayed at the end is a huge key. It's not in us to be able to forgive. We have to lean on God's strength to help us to forgive.
It's just it's I couldn't forgive my father. I mean, I hated him. And I'm sure if someone murdered my child, I would hate them.
Yes.
I mean, how could you not? And how can you forgive them? And yet, God can enable, and it's
Yes.
only by his strength.
Yes. Well, let's move on to number seven, which is encouragement.
Oh, good. Encouragement.
Yay!
Yay.
Yes.
Yay.
I think discouragement is one of the enemy's favorite tools, isn't it?
It is because courage is what the root of
Yes.
encouragement or discouragement is, and dis means to take courage out of someone, whereas encouragement means to put courage into them. And what we need to do when someone has lost a child is to put courage into them
Yes.
to be able to trust God and to have hope.
And we're back the hope again.
We're back to hope again because hope is where we start.
Yes. And I love the fact that one of the Holy Spirit's names is encourager.
It is.
Because God knew we were going to need to be encouraged.
And he lives within us when we know
Yes.
the Lord
Yes, we
Jesus.
don't have to reach for it out there somewhere. It's already in us.
He's in us.
Yeah. So, what are some of the ways that we can open the door to be encouraged? For me, one of the things is like getting out in God's creation. There's something about
Absolutely.
being in God's creation, just, oh, it's encouraging. It lightens me. It just reminds me of just who God is and how incredible He is.
And I think that's what helped David to get so close to God.
Yes.
He was out there and he saw this. I mean, The heavens declare the glory of God. He just, I do that every morning early with my dog. And even when it's very cold here in Colorado, I'm out there and I bundle up, but it just, I mean, I live right looking at Pikes Peak and the mountains. And I just go out there and while my dog is sniffing all everything she can find through the snow, I am just praising God and looking at the mountains, and it's looking at the Air Force Academy and
So
just
no more for the rest of us making excuses. It's too cold out there.
no,
If Linda can do it, we can do it.
I'm going to be 83 next month. So my daughter says, "You shouldn't be doing that when it's so cold, Mom." And I'm saying, "It's the best way to start my day to get out in creation and see it." And it just lifts my heart first thing in the
Yeah.
morning.
Yeah. We talked about also reading scripture. We also talked about reading it for the head knowledge, but reading it through the love of God, through the eyes of God's love.
I know that the heart skill is to know that he's your hiding place and to
Yes.
know how to go to that hiding place and to go there with him. He's our refuge, he's our
Yes, I was going to say,
strength,
he,
he's
yes, he's our refuge, our strong tower, our, yes, our anchor.
but he's our hiding place. And David was able to go quickly to that hiding place, and it was because I think he had been in creation so much, but he was able to just quickly move from his head down into his heart, into his spirit, in the middle of a very difficult situation when people were going to attack him, and move in down in with the Lord and be at peace. And that's what we need to do. He was able to get, he said he encouraged himself in the Lord right in the middle of a hard situation. And that's what I've asked God to show me how to do. How can I, when discouragement comes on me, how can I learn to encourage myself in the Lord like David did?
I think sometimes, we can ask that head to heart thing, and David did it so fast to encourage himself. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. And for me, I think sometimes I have a special chair that I sit in. It's in this room, and it's kind of like my prayer chair. It's like where I meet with God. And just you get to the point where just sitting in that chair is just like, huh. It's like I'm in my refuge spot. This is my meeting with God spot. And we can start there to learn how to just encourage ourselves in the Lord that that one place is where I go. And then eventually you can get to the point where it's just like, oh my goodness. And you can just go from your head to your heart. God's with you. He's encouraging me. Yeah. Do you have a spot like that in your house?
I do, and it's on my knees by my couch.
See? Yep.
And it used to be out walking behind my house,
Yes.
but now it's I get on my knees and it's like my heart just knows that I'm in the right position.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
There's something
like you're
about when
saying.
you, when you have a place or a position or, and I do know some people, it's like they go for the walk and as soon as they step outside, it's like, oh, it's me and God time. This feels so good.
No, I have that in the morning with the Lord, but when I get on my knees and, okay, Lord, it's you and me.
Yeah. So I think your heart skill in this one is to find your spiritual and physical hiding place in God.
And one woman told me she has on her side of the bed, she has a whole bunch of pillows. And she just goes and she lays down on all those pillows, and that's her hiding place. I mean, everybody finds. I have another friend that turned a closet
Yes.
into a little hiding place, and she goes there. We just need to find whether it's a chair or outside, but we have to have a place that when we get there, okay, God, I'm here.
Yes.
Jesus had his place. He went up to the Garden of Olives, and
At our previous house, they had a there was a bar that was built under the basement stairs, and it had a counter, and we blocked that window to the other room out, and that little room under the basement stairs became my hiding place. It was wonderful, and that was my hiding place when Becca died. I put a sleeping bag down there, and man, I was there a lot. Yeah. All right, well, this last one is praise. And you say, when I allow my grief and lament to move me toward God, as I experience his love, as I learn to trust and forgive and live encouraged, I find myself in the only posture that can sustain my heart through any circumstance or hurt, and that is praise. Praise changes us, doesn't it?
It
Just
does.
coming into
And
his
David,
presence with his faithfulness.
and Daniel has been the example to me, because he did that throughout his whole life, and he was in great pain because he didn't lose a child, he lost his whole family. He lost his mother and father and his siblings and his country and his language and
His
everything.
identity.
He
I mean,
lost
the
his
king tried to change his
identity.
identity, give him a new
He
name,
lost
everything.
everything. He lost his name. He lost everything. And I couldn't find anything to say it, but I think he lost his manhood. We have no record that he
Working for the
married.
king like that, yeah.
I found one source, but wasn't sure I could footnote them. But I think he lost his manhood. And he was taken at 15 or 16 and was either of royal or noble blood. And I think since he was always the leader, I think he was of n noble blood, probably a prince. And he was there until he was 83, at least. And for all of those years, three times a day, he went to his hiding place and he got on his knees and prayed and worshiped and faced Jerusalem and thanked God. And to thank God when you've lost everything, that says something deep about him. And he suffered a lot. He suffered a lot. He was put in the lion's den. I mean, he was accused of things he didn't do. He was misunderstood, called a horrible name by another god when his name was God is my judge. Daniel means God is judge, the judge. And so he suffered greatly and lost everything. And yet he just, that's the only thing I think that kept him going, was that he had a hiding place where he could praise God. And so I feel that when we have suffered, and if you've lost a child, you've suffered. And I remember one group of women said, "Well, when do we get over this?" Said, "I don't think we do. I think that we learn to trust God more, and He encourages us, and we keep hoping, and we keep loving, and we keep practicing the heart skills, and we keep praising. But I don't think it's something we get over, because we loved our child." And does the pain lessen? Yes. But whether we adopted that child or gave birth, we love that child. God adopted us. We're adopted children. And yet he created us. And he doesn't stop loving us. And we don't stop loving whether our child is here or in heaven. And so
So we can get to the point where, as you put it, praise becomes our natural language because we cannot live without it.
don't you love that?
I do.
I
And
love that.
I can picture some people listening saying, that sounds impossible. How in the world do you get to where you can't live without praise? Because I'm really mad at God right now. But that's why you go through these heart skills. And it's not like a step, like we said, they're all intertwined. But you just begin to move in those directions.
Right. And I like that you say that they're not steps. I told you that my daughter died 5 years ago in March, and last summer our son had cancer. And through genetic testing, we found out that my husband and I have cancer genes that we
Oh.
passed on to our three children,
Hmm.
and they've been passed on to our
Okay.
grandchildren. And so that's something else we've had to trust God with.
Yeah, you could just really be paralyzed with fear and torment with that. Fear brings torment.
And so we've had to trust God with our grandchildren and with the possibility of them having cancer. And so there's just many things that we've had to surrender to him. They didn't even know this gene existed when my husband and I got married. And
Sure.
now they say on the internet, if you're in love and you both have this gene, it would be best if you didn't get married.
Oh, wow.
Because you shouldn't have children if you both have this gene.
Wow.
Okay, well, we got married and had children, and they didn't even know this gene existed. So God knew it existed,
Yes.
and He knew we were going to have children and that they were going to have children. And so God is over it. So God is
And that's
asking
why we can
us to.
praise him. Because he's
That's
never
right.
blindsided by any of this. And before
No.
we were even born, he had a plan in place for all of this.
Yes, and yet I am going to trust him.
Yes.
And that's why I have up on my wall, he is still good, and I trust the next chapter because I know the author.
Yes.
And I am going to trust him. But does that mean it doesn't hurt when my granddaughter calls me crying because she finds out she has the gene? No, it hurts. Pain hurts. Pain hurts. And it hurts particularly when it's your own grandchild. And so I understand the pain, even though the pain may be of a different kind of the people listening. But God is good. And yes, praise can become our language because it's becoming mine. And so I encourage you to practice these heart skills. And when my son, who was 53 at the time, got prostate cancer, which is very young to have prostate cancer, and that means all four of his sons had to be tested for the gene, then I went back to the beginning of the book and started with hope again and am doing the Bible study in it with the dear woman who's coming tomorrow. So I'm going through the Bible study right now again that I wrote myself. And last night, as I was doing the lesson on love, I said, God, you spoke to me through the lesson I wrote myself. So thank you. Because we keep learning. So I started back at hope again, and I'm going to keep praising.
Yes, amen. I agree, because he's worth praising, because
He's
he made a
God.
way for us to be with our children together too. So this isn't permanent. I mean, that's ooh, that's worth praising. Thank you, God. This is not permanent. It's temporary.
So, Laura, thank you for what you do because it's so important.
Oh, thank you. And you did, your book is Hope for My Hurting Heart. And I was going to mention, and you brought it up on the back of the book, there is an 8-week study in the back. So you can go deeper with it. You can go deeper with a group together into each one of these heart skills. Linda, thank you so much for joining me, my friend. I just love it when we can talk and spend time together. And I know you prayed specifically for the area of forgiveness, but would you close us out just by praying over all of this, over all the listeners?
Abba, Father, we love you. We can't always understand you because we're God and we're so human, but we want to grow in trusting you.
Yes.
So would you encourage our hearts so we can trust you? And Lord, I pray for each one listening that you will meet them right where they are
Yes.
and that you will wrap them in a heart blanket and show them how much you love them. And that they will be able to receive your love for them and your hope for them, because God, you are a God of hope and a
Yes.
God of love. And you want to breathe hope and love and take us all the way to praise. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you are patient with us and that you keep loving us and you keep pouring hope into us. And thank you for Laura and for this podcast that breathes hope into precious moms and dads who have suffered. Keep breathing hope into them because you're a God of hope. We
Yes.
thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you again, Linda. And we will keep in
Thank
touch.
you.
And
Thank
I
you.
do want to add, thank you for writing the foreword to The Grieving Parents
Oh,
in the
it's a
Bible.
wonderful book. I hope that everybody will read it. It's a wonderful book.
Thank you. I think you can agree that Linda is just a gem. She sparkles with God's love and care and compassion for those who have faced deep losses. I really encourage you to get her book, Hope for My Hurting Heart, because there was so much in it that we just didn't have time to get into and talk about. Now, Linda shared about a plaque hanging above her desk, and I want to wrap up this segment by sharing one of the plaques I have here in my office that says, "I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow." I've learned that this is one of the greatest needs I have. In times of uncertainty, when I can let anxious thoughts and fears grip my heart, to remember that nothing blindsides God, that He already has a plan in place based in His comfort, His love, and His faithfulness. I can trust Him with all of my unknown tomorrows until I am out of this world, and you can too. I hope and pray that if you don't feel that way right now, that you will take to heart the things Linda shared with us and that you will get there too. Like I said, I want to encourage you to get Linda's book, Hope for the Hurting Heart, and I will put a link to that in the show notes. Now, it's an affiliate link, which means it gives GPS Hope part of the purchase price when you buy it using that link. Now, I don't know if you have been waiting for this exciting announcement, but I sure have. I can finally let you know that the paperback version of the Bible's Grieving Parents, along with the companion journal, are being released next Thursday, February 19th. This has been such a labor of love, and I can't wait to get these into your hands. You will be able to walk with people such as Adam and Eve, Naomi, David, of course, Job, and his wife, and others in Scripture who lost a child, and how God met them in their grief, bringing comfort and hope and strength. The companion journal will help you to process more deeply and personally what you have read about each bereaver. Now, these two books will be released on Amazon that day, Thursday the 19th, February 19th, but you can pre-order them on the GPS Hope website. Now, Dave and I will be leaving the next day, Friday the 19th, as presenters on the grief cruise, and we're going to be gone for a full week, so we're not going to be able to send them to you right away. But I promise it will be worth the wait. And because February is my birthday month, I get to celebrate it on the cruise. We are celebrating by giving you a gift. So from now through the end of February, when you order the Bible's Grieving Parents along with the companion journal through the GPS Hope web store, we will send you a free copy of My Grief Journey, coloring book and journal for grieving parents. Now, My Grief Journey is a book that brings so many of our swirling emotions into the light. There are 42 different words that reflect the path we're walking. Words like numb, confusion, anger, helpless, comfort, time, laughter, heaven, believe, trust, and of course, hope. Now, each word is surrounded by intentionally hand-drawn artwork. It's not perfect, it's not computer-generated, because grief isn't perfect either. It mirrors our lives. You don't have to like coloring to use this book, because alongside each word is a journaling prompt, plus encouragement and scripture to gently point your heart back to truth and hope. It's a gentle, creative way to help process the emotions that are often too hard to put into words. No, we've had several people who have purchased it over the years to use it in their support groups. And we give permission to copy out the pages for each person in your group to have in front of them. If it doesn't sound like something you would use, you can always hang on to it since we're sending it to you free and allow God to show you who to gift that book to that it was intended for. Like I said, we'll be leaving the next day for being presenters on the Grief Cruise, so your books won't be shipped until March. I really hope you take advantage of grabbing some of the first copies of the Bible's Grieving Parents along with the companion journal and order it before the end of February so that we will also send you my birthday gift of my grief journey. I will put a link to all of this in the show notes. You can find details about the books. There will be a link where you can go straight to ordering these books. You don't have to put My Grief Journey in your cart. If you order the Bible's Grieving Parents and the companion journal by the end of February, you will automatically be sent the free book. It's time for our birthday segment, where each week we honor and remember our children's birthdays as a way of remembering that their lives mattered. Sean Krause was born on February 19th and is forever 24. Jason Zimdars was born on February 20th and is forever 35. We celebrate the day these children came into the world, into the lives of their families. We know it will always be an important day and worth celebrating. If this feels meaningful to you, we would be honored to hold that space with you the week of your son or daughter's birthday. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out the form. It's basically your child's name, their birth date, your email address so that Dave can send you an email to remind you to listen the week of your child's birthday. And it also puts you on our weekly Word of Hope email list so that you can get a word of encouragement from me each week. If you don't want to receive that, just unsubscribe, no problem. But I would love to be able to share your child the day they came into the world with the listeners so we can celebrate him or her together. I want to end today with sharing something from Linda's book. She says, "The experience of God's presence and faithfulness changes us. It accumulates in our hearts and souls over time." I just want to encourage you not to put harsh and unrealistic expectations on yourself. This is a journey, one step at a time, one day, one hour, one breath at a time, if that is where you are. God is not only willing, but He wants to meet you right there, in the mess, in the pain, to be real to you. Not just something you know in your head, but someone you know in your heart. So hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.